family and a firm foundation. All right, let's turn to the book of Jude. And book of Jude is way at the end of the Bible. And we're going to start there. And good, book of Jude. This is one that even good Christians struggle with. And this is for everybody. This is not for just married people. This one's real, real, real important. And Jude. And verse 20. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference." Today I want to talk about compassion in your family. Compassion in your family. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us to learn your word, and I pray that you would just give us the tools we need. We have Bibles, Father, and if no one here had a Bible, they would be able to hear me read a Bible, Father. And that's a great honor, but many of us have our own Bibles, and most people here have a Bible with them, Lord, and we're blessed in that way. And so we have that tool, but Lord, we need your Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. We need him to help us understand and speak to our hearts and do a mighty work. And Lord, this is something that we struggle with oftentimes, Lord. Matter of fact, I believe most every Christian struggles with this issue. But I pray you'd help us to get this, Father, and to understand it, and that you'd not only show us the truth, but help us to have the strength and determination and the grace to do it, Father. Please speak through this message now. Give us your power. Dwell among us in a powerful way and speak to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Our homes are to be a place of peace and joy and love and kindness. As Jesus told the disciples, let your peace rest upon the house. I read the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And we've read verses in the Old Testament about how you put the Bible verses outside your house and all these things. And your home is a place where God dwells. And we want that. We want to have that in our home. But another thing Jesus was known for was compassion. And let's go back to the book of Matthew. And it says it in the book of Matthew here, and we'll just kind of go forward from the start of Matthew 9, I think is where we'll start. And Jude, it said, of some having compassion, making the difference. And the next verse says, others hated the fear, pulling them out of the fire. They're just people we've got to have compassion on. And we've got to have compassion. The word compassion, it basically means to feel pity, sympathy, or to have your bowels yearn for. And the Bible says your bowels, it's your very heart, your chest, you yearn, you long for something deep down inside. That's what compassion is towards somebody. Someone once said that compassion is love, is the vehicle that moves love into action. Compassion is a vehicle that moves love into action. Compassion is when you say, you know what? I care enough that I'm going to have compassion and do this and help you. That's what compassion does. And so compassion. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But what Jesus, referring to Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. And he said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. He saw their need. And he wanted something done about it. And then in chapter 14 of Matthew, and I could go through all the Gospels and just show you all the times, and there's many, many times it says Jesus was moved with compassion for somebody and what he did in these situations. In verse 14, Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went forth, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And so he saw the need and he fixed it. Chapter 15 and verse 32. When Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes because they continue with me now 3 days and I have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And both these situations, he fed 5,000 one time and 4,000 another time. And this is where he has compassion on them and feeds them. Okay? That is what Jesus did. I have compassion, so I'm going to do this. I care enough. Even though they should have brought food, even though they aren't prepared, even though they've done this or that. He says, I still have compassion on them. And then Matthew 18. And verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. So you see why he's there. And then go forward to verse Matthew 18, verse 33. Shouldest thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? This story is the story of a man who owed debt, and he was forgiven his debt, but he wouldn't forgive the people who owed him. It's very important. This is a man who owed a great debt, and his master had compassion on him, but then the person who had, the master had compassion on would not have compassion on the people who owed him. Okay? In verse 33, shouldest thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord is wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, that he should pay, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto all you, if ye from your hearts do not forgive every brother, his trespasses. And so you see the need of compassion there, and how he expects that. And then we'll just do a couple in Mark chapter 1. I'm just showing how Jesus, when people had needs and had faults and had problems, he had compassion on them and helped them and saw their need, not their fault. It's a great song. He looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, and there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. By the way, you talk about taking a risk. Once you touch a leper, you are unclean. And Jesus actually physically touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And so he had compassion on this man with leprosy in Mark chapter 5. And verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he had been possessed with a devil, prayed that he might be with him. Howbeit when Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. This is the maniac Gadara. So again, we've got a lot of verses here. We could take you to more. But we see the pattern here that Jesus very clearly has compassion on people. And so he finds a need, he sees the need, and he says, I'm going to try to help you. And my voice is a little weak in camp. I'm going to get this microphone a little closer. So he has compassion, and we should have compassion. We should be compassionate to our spouse. If you knew what they did, listen, you're not going to shock me with what they did. Okay? If you know what my kids did, my kids are so bad. So you need to have compassion. Well, they don't deserve it. Do you deserve the compassion God had on you? Hello, hello, is anybody here? What did he say about those who are shown compassion and then won't give compassion afterward? He said, I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors. If you don't forgive people, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. Just, you know what? I'm not gonna allow that. I was so compassionate with you, and you won't give compassion to them. And so we're supposed to have that compassion. I've been asked 500 times, why is it so hard to witness to my family? Why is it so hard to be nice to them? They drive me crazy. It's strange. I could say today, folks, we're gonna have somebody come into church, and they got saved yesterday. And they're a prostitute, and they were on the streets last night, but they got saved. I want you to treat them as one of us and love them. You know what everybody in church would do? They would be compassionate, treat them just, and love them, be kind to them. They would love them. And I think most all of us could do that because we know Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's what Jesus surrounded himself with. That's what they called Jesus, the friend of sinners. Okay? That's why he called him that. So, she got saved, he had compassion on her. And then somebody says, I just cannot take the way my sister is. She just irritates me to death. Well, you could treat the lady who was in prostitution yesterday okay. That's different. Yeah, your sister wasn't that. She just, you know, criticized you all the time or laughs at you or stole your car 10 years ago or something, whatever she did. Your brother drives you crazy. Isn't it strange? Do you know what I'm talking about here? It's strange how those in our own household is the hardest to be compassionate toward. your own children or your own spouse or your brother, sister, or mom. We'll be compassionate to the person who's fallen and done a bunch of bad things, but our mom is, and your mom's irresponsible, okay? Your mom really is that. Okay, understand. I'm not minimizing somebody's irritation or sin or frustration. You've known them. You've seen them do it over and over and over for 30 years. Okay, I know it drives you crazy, and I get it. Okay, I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying have compassion, because Jesus is compassionate. My kids just drive me crazy. Well, have compassion on them. Be compassionate to people. When I was at camp, we've been doing camp 11 years. We never have problems. We only bring good kids, and we had one kid one time who, I don't know why, the pastor brought a kid with Asperger's. And Asperger's, you do not, we, if you could write about a bad scenario for a person with Asperger's, put him at camp, okay? Because Asperger's, you have to have everything the same and a bunch of things. Camp is absolute chaos. And I had to ask pastor, you need to take him home. He can't handle camp. And but that kid wasn't a problem. Wasn't a bad kid. Wasn't a problem. But this year, someone brought a problem kid. And he was a pretty bad kid. He was being bad. And I watched people from his church who are working hard to bring him. He came in the buses, and he's been coming about a month. And they're taking him aside and lecturing him and trying everything and letting him have it and telling him how bad he was and all that stuff. And finally, I had to. We were doing a banquet, and the banquet's nice on Wednesday night, it's a formal banquet. Everybody wears their best clothes, and every boy is supposed to escort a girl in. And this kid was just completely inappropriate with how he treated the girl, and just was, he's 10 years old, 9 years old. He was just kind of mean and nasty. And then when I was trying to tell about, I was standing, and I just kind of let it go. And then I was standing in the front while I was doing it. He was trying to plug his ears and act like the stupid, he's just being really irritating, bothersome, and disruptive. And so after I got done with my speech about how to have manners and do all these things, and everybody was basically paying attention to him, not me, I took him, I said, come with me. I took him outside. Now, he was nasty, he was rude, he was inappropriate and all those things. But I'd seen that kid before about 300 times in Chicago. Okay. I knew the kid, different name, maybe a little different race, maybe. And I knew that kid. And I watched him eat. And this might not mean much to you. I just watched him eat. And during the meals, I just paid a little attention this week. And I watched him eat. And he honestly, he ate like an animal. He never used a utensil. It was eggs. He ate them with his hands. He just shoved things in his mouth. Both hands, just shoving food in his mouth. Everything he shoved into his mouth. And that's the way he acted. And that's the way he was. And I, now, just having watched him, that he doesn't even know how to use a fork, showed me a lot. Okay? It just showed me a lot. It showed me his home. And I just took a kid outside and I said, and he liked to eat. He was kind of a pudgy kid. And I took him out before he could eat. Okay? And there's a lot of things that we did on purpose. And I took him outside, and I said, listen, man, I said, who do you live with? My grandma. Okay, can I tell you something? 9-year-olds should not be living with their grandma. I said, how can we live with the grandma? Well, my mom's trying to find a place right now, and when she finds a place, you're going to move back in. And is your mom at home? No. Okay, if you've seen what I've seen, and that storyteller just told me a whole bunch of things. Mom is not living with grandma and the son. She's out doing something. Okay, there's a whole bunch of things. Why is that boy like that? I said, do you know your dad? I haven't seen my dad for a long time. I knew him when I was young, he said. Okay, can we start having compassion on the kid? Okay, I didn't know how to act either. So I said, listen. I said, and here's what I said. I said, listen, the way you're acting is inappropriate. You're not going to act that way. I said, we're going to have a great time at camp. We're going to have a meal in there. We have good food coming. We have ice cream. We have dessert. I said, I'm going to enjoy eating all of it. I said, we're going to have a great time at camp. Everybody here is having a great time. You notice how much fun you've had at camp? Well, yeah. Said, well, we're going to do that. We're going to keep having fun, but you got to be a part of us. If you're not going to, you're going to sit out here alone because we don't want someone ruining our fun. You can be by yourself out here and you can just sit here. I'll bring you enough food to get, you're not going to enjoy the good stuff. I'll just bring you enough food. I said, you know what? I care about you. I want you to have fun. I want you to have a good camp. You're not going to act that way. I said, now, I believe you can go in there and act right. I said, I know how you put in an act, you act like you don't want to be with the girl. I said, we're not going to put up with that. And I think you can act right. But if you don't, you're not going to be out here. But I said, I believe in you. Okay? There's 20 things I did there that I've learned through mistakes with a kid. Hey, everything I did from taking him before the food to find out about his family to notice how he eats, everything was on purpose because I was having compassion on him. And I gave him the whole spiel. I said, I wasn't soft on him. I said, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. You're going to act like this. You're going to learn to do this stuff. I said, if not, you're going to be by yourself. You're going to sit on that bench right there. I'm going to bring you your food. You're going to sit by yourself. You're not going swimming tomorrow. You're not going to be part of the things. You're not going to be part of this, anything. You're going to sit there, and you're not going to have fun because people who have fun at camp act like this. And I think you can do that. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to sit out here alone, or do you want to go in there and be good? Okay, I'll be good. I said, I'm watching you. Okay? So he brought him back in there. His pastor was there and going, he wanted to keep saying something. But he let me do it. And so finally, we walked in there, and I watched him, and he was trying. And I got up out of my chair, walked over to his seat, and I said, I know, you're doing it. You're doing great. Boy, you know how few times that kid's ever been praised? He all of a sudden sat up and started being better. Okay, why? Because I had compassion on him. Now, he'd gotten the, and he needs that, I'm not against that, the, you better not do that, we do not do that here, that's wrong, that's the, you should not do that, that's terrible, you know, you made that girl so upset. I mean, you can do all that, and that's fine, I don't mind that, but understand, that's what he hears all the time. Okay, he gets yelled at all the time, because the mom has no discipline. The only time when he gets very bad enough for her to finally get off her couch, all she does is scream and yell and smack him beside the head a bunch, and she doesn't discipline him ever. And so, and I'm not saying there's not a time when you raise your voice, all that stuff. I'm just saying that boy, I don't know what happened to that kid. He's got a rough home. He's got everything in the world against him. I don't know what happened to the kid. I just know that might have been the first time anybody's been nice to him. Okay? And I don't think his teacher's nice to him probably because of the way he acts. He deserves it. You understand that? I know he deserves it because he's bad. However, I was bad. I was the worst kid in my school. It started in fourth grade when I really started being bad. I had one bad teacher, and that's all I needed. I had good teachers up till then, but then all of a sudden my lack of discipline came in fourth grade. Mr. Friesen was a terrible teacher and didn't know anything that was going on in his class, so I went to work. And I was terrible, and I was terrible until I got saved. And my vice principal in junior high, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, he told me, you are the worst student and got the thickest file in the entire school. And I was that. Why? Well, as soon as I got compassion, I changed. I didn't know how to act. So here's this kid, didn't know how to act, and that's just what he learned, and that's just what he grew up on. And so you understand. Listen, no wonder the blind guy wouldn't quit screaming at Jesus. He was blind. And they said, hey, you're being rude. You're being obnoxious. And he wouldn't stop crying. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus went back and healed him. Okay? Just because people don't know how to act, just because people don't have, just because they have some issues does not mean you should have not a compassion on them. They need you. A Christian's job is to deliver from darkness. Acts chapter 26. I don't have time with that kid. He's from a different church. If I had time with that kid, we've done it a lot of times. If I had time with that kid could turn out. And I hope that church can do that. And it takes some skill with that person. It takes some patience. It takes some consequences, a whole bunch of things. It takes some time. It's very difficult. But, you know, if you show compassion on people and they never get love, love melts people. We love him because he first loved us. Acts 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul said, that's my job, to turn them from darkness to light. Let me take it to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Compassion. Compassion in your own family. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as ye have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, but nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You understand, they're in darkness. They need someone to shine the light. Your job is not spotter, condemner, and lecturer. Your job is deliverer. Okay? Your job, you don't have the gift of pointing. It's not a Bible gift. You don't have the gift of condemning. Okay, judge not. Remember we talked about what judging really is? Okay? And it's not your job. You can notice the wrong, that's fine. But judging is technically when you judge them and you say, they are this and that, 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 and rah. That's judging. It's not saying they're doing this and it's wrong. God's the judge. He's already said that's wrong. We know it's wrong. So when I look at this kid and I say, that dirty, rotten kid, what's he doing ruining our camp, distracting my whole speech? What's it? No, have compassion. Try to get him out of darkness. And I had 10 minutes with the kid that week. I was running all week long. But you know what? My job is not to tell that kid how bad he is and let him know just how bad he is. Okay? My job is to deliver him from the darkness he's in into the light. So you say, my husband's not saved, and he's this and this and this, and he does this and he does this, and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do this. And God sent a deliverer to him. You. Unfortunately, the deliverer has two problems. One, they're angry and bitter. Two, they have no faith that God can change them. So they're in trouble. You got to have compassion on people. Your job is not to spotter, condemner, and lecture, but deliverer. How to think compassionately. Oh man, this is, I have to think about this one. I've had so many people over the years, they go through this process. They say, my brother or my aunt or my uncle, my mom or my dad or my sister or my child are so bad and they drive me crazy. I just cannot even talk to them about God. And I say, well, you're their deliverer. You seem to know what's wrong with them. You're the one to deliver them. Then we go through the speech of, well, you don't know them. That part of the speech is the next part of the speech. And we don't know them. They're never going to change. All those things. And then hopefully we say, listen, I thought you were pretty bad too. Right? Well, yeah. And God changed you, right? Yeah. Okay. Maybe God can work miracles in other people besides you. Okay. So then we get the next step is, well, how do I do that? How do I have compassion? Let me just give you a few ways to have compassion. The ways that I do. Number one, remember the Lord's patience and mercy towards you. That's the one that fixes it for me every time. God is still having to be patient and merciful toward me and compassionate toward me. Still, after all these years of serving the Lord, God should still consume me. How can I look down at somebody else and not have compassion on them when God has been so merciful to me? Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The same way you are forgiven, pass it on. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. How did God love you? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can God have been so merciful to me and so kind to me and saved me out of sin? And I can see myself in that boy, and some of you can't. And that's fine. I understand. You were better than I was. You grew up in a decent home. You had those opportunities. so have compassion on those who don't. Okay, how many of you grew up in a pretty good, a pretty disciplined home? You're fairly decent. Okay, 2/3 of you. Okay. So probably, and when I say this, that's why drug addicts want to go reach drug addicts and stuff like that. People generally want to reach, that's why Catholics want to reach Catholics. And people who come out of something have more compassion, naturally. You understand why? It's just natural. Okay? And so I was a bad kid with a bad home and undisciplined and no dad there and all that stuff. So it's not hard. That's why, how many times have I worked with young men and boys who are messed up and had all these problems and who knows how many times I've done that and glad to do it and like doing it. And so why? Because that's what I was. It's easy for me to see, you know, if that kid had a little guidance, he might be a good kid. But those of you who don't have what I had, you were privileged. Don't say I was lucky, so it's easier for me to have compassion. No, I had a lot of hard years because of that. Okay? I had a lot of things to conquer. You were privileged. That does not mean you should look down on every kid who doesn't have your discipline. You might have been just as bad. You might have been just as bad. You don't know. And so I have compassion on them. Can I just say, it's not the kids' fault that their parents are bums? Okay, it's not. And I understand the kids should be good anyway. He should, but God designed the parents to train them up. And a child left to himself, the Bible says, comes to destruction. I'm so glad. You know what's been good? You know what's blessed my heart maybe more than just about anything in my life is to watch the compassion that my kids have on bus kids from bad homes. They watch the compassion they have. It's good. It's you can do that. Number two, realize there is an amazing person in them waiting to be released. Realize there's an amazing person in them waiting to be released, but the devil has blinded or imprisoned them. Let's look at James chapter 5. This is something having been blessed to have watched so many lives get changed, so many of your lives get changed over the years, and just seeing what God can do with a life, and seeing someone, I think, man, that person's kind of nasty, and then watching them get right with God, and get saved, and watch what a beautiful person they become, I realize there's something great, and something beautiful, and something magnificent in every human, but it many times is oppressed and hidden by the blindness of the devil. It's imprisoned. James 5, the last two verses of the book of James. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know which he hath converted the sinner from the error of his ways, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. What an honor it is. They that turn the many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. I've just found that the person you see that is so nasty might be Mary Magdalene. The woman who's washing Jesus' feet, who's a sinner, is weeping with love and is a beautiful Christian. But somebody's got to deliver her. And Jesus did that. And Jesus went and delivered people and saved people and did mighty things. And Jesus saw. See, the person that drives you crazy, whether it's your husband, whether it's your child, whether it's your mom or daddy or your brother or sister, whoever it is, I'm going to say, and I want to say, please don't think I'm talking about you. There's 30 people in this room who've talked to me about this. Okay? Whoever it is that you feel that way toward, understand the reason they are like they are is because the devil has them and is pounding them and has them in bondage, and they probably would like to be free too. They don't even know the greatness that's in them. They don't know the wonderful things they can do, the beautiful, godly Christian inside them. You got to realize they just need a deliverer. Number three, the way I have compassion is you remember your faults if you get too haughty. Remember your faults if you get too haughty. The same person will condemn the person who's a drug addict, okay, who has a problem with pornography. The person who condemns the person who is a bad parent steals at work. The person who condemns the person who doesn't come to church as often as they should has a temper problem. But can I tell you? One of the devil's great things he does to people is makes us say about other people's sins, I can't believe it, and then about their own sins saying, yeah, probably shouldn't. Amen! Why is it we think our sins aren't really bad ones and God understands because I really mean well? Maybe they mean well too. The drug addict that you condemn so much weeps to me and says, I've been doing this since I was 12 and I want to stop. The same way you want to stop losing your temper at your wife. Which either sin would send you to hell, right? The wage of sin is death. Okay. And so remember how, before you get too haughty, ask your spouse if you're perfect. Before you get too haughty, remember the times God will be merciful to you. That's how I'm compassionate. Those are the three things I do. I remember how merciful God's been to me. I remember my condition. I realize there's probably someone great inside them and try to be compassionate on them because of that. How we doing? Amen? All right. That's unenthusiastic, but that's okay. This is hard stuff. It's hard. And by the way, I got saved, had a whole family of unsaved people. And they started making fun of me. And they drove me crazy. I've had compassion for so long now, they don't bother me anymore. I just realized, I tell you, some of them, boy, this... If this ever gets on the internet and they ever listen to it, they'll hate me. But some of them have not acted in the most wise ways in their lives. Okay, matter of fact, none of them have. Okay? And some of them, with great potential, have fried all potential. Okay? I believe any one of them could get saved and become a godly Christian. We're working on them. And you got to be compassionate to people. You got to realize the devil's got them, so they need your prayers. They need your love. They need your faith. Quit limiting God thinking they can never change. God's a big God. You would have never... Boy, good thing you weren't the Apostle Paul's brother. You don't know my brother. My brother kills Christians and condemns them. He is Mr. Jew of Jews, Pharisee of Pharisees. He stood there while Stephen got stoned to death, and they gave his clothes to him because he was in charge of it. He is wicked. He will never serve God. Oh, he wrote a whole bunch of books of the Bible and became the greatest Christian ever. God's pretty good at changing lives. That little boy there at camp might become a great evangelist someday. God's pretty big. Unless the person who's the God designed to be the deliverer, like all over the Bible and the book of Judges and many other places where God sent a deliverer to them, the deliverer says, nah, God can't do that. And no, I can't talk. No. I won't have compassion on them. They irritate me too much. They know how to push my buttons. How many of you have relatives who know how to push your buttons? Raise your hand. Every hand goes up. You have relatives. And by the way, the funny thing is, my kids raise your hand. Better not be me. But you know what? Because those you know the best, somehow. Well, they live with you the whole life. They know how to push your buttons. I saw somebody in here who's married and every other relative is not there and they had no other siblings. No. But you know, you realize these people can irritate us. And the devil knows that we're the deliverer, so he really goes overtime. And ready? I know your secrets. You ready? I do not know why they bother me so much. It just drives me crazy. Right? Whole bunch of nods out there. It's your family member. It's your spouse. It's your child. It's your brother, your sister. It's your mom or dad. And I feel it. I listen to people, and there's people in this room who have this, and I listen to you when you had to be an adult because your mom or dad was a child. And what you had to go through and the suffering you went through from that. And I say, good night. It's got to be hard to be compassionate to that person. And it is. But you are God's deliverer. You have the love of God, which is unconditional. You've got to go be the deliverer. Wrote it down here. I do not know why it's so hard to reach our own families. Maybe it's just the devil working harder. Instead of saying they are so nasty, you might look at people and say, I wonder who wounded them. If somebody come to our church, they might see how strong a stance we take against sin, like last Sunday morning, and think we don't have compassion. Do you know the reason we preach so hard against sin is because we do have compassion? We see what sin does. Okay? They are so nasty, you might think, I wonder who wounded them. When you get compassionate thinking, you think this way. Somebody else might have said, why didn't they bring their own lunches? And Jesus says, they wanted to hear the word of God so much, let's feed them. They are so strong-willed, might turn into, I wonder what that person could do for God. You know, strong-willed people can do great things for God. I'm strong-willed. That's why I'm not afraid to preach anything. Why? Because I'm not going to be intimidated by somebody. A lot of preachers are. I'm not. You know, because I'm strong-willed. But I was a bear as a kid. Still am, I know. I know you want to say that. And I said it for you. They don't meet my needs. Might turn into, I must meet their needs. And I may get, we love him because he first loved us back. You might change the way you look at people. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, is moved with compassion because there's sheep as no shepherd. Somebody else might look and say, what a disorganized mess. But compassionate thinking sees things a little differently. I want to say this, and of some having compassion, making a difference. If you can have compassion on them when they know how bad they bother you, and they know how bad your temper is, and they know how irritated you get with them, and all of a sudden you say, I just want to call you today and tell you I love you. Click. You will be free of them because they'll have a heart attack. Okay? And I'm joking. And but you know what might happen? They might be stunned. And if you start showing them love, maybe write him a letter and say, I probably haven't treated you right. I know I shouldn't have lost my temper with you. I just want you to know I love you and care about you. And I'm really praying that God will work in your life. You know, if you start showing compassion, it might make the difference. Compassion with your child. They're a brat. They're such a brat. They're so terrible. You know, they're being attacked by Satan. Be bad and be terrible. And you've got to love them and have compassion on them. And your teenagers might drive you crazy. But remember, you know what? Teenagers, it's a hard time of life. Here you are with this growing body. Your brain is non-existent. And there you are trying to exist in life. And you have compassion on them because they have no brain. They are like the scarecrow. Which one of the Wizard of Oz had no brain? Scarecrow. They're like the scarecrow. Got this crazy body and no brain. And you might have compassion on them. Because it's hard being a teenager in the world today and having no brain. And you might have compassion on them, okay? Compassion thinks a little differently. Compassion is not looking down their big nose at somebody, saying, I'm better than you. You're just a sinner saved by grace, whether you know it or not. If you don't know that you're a sinner saved by grace, need the mercy of God, you have a very short memory. You're a lot better than me, if that's the case. I tell you that. Have compassion. Have compassion on the people in your family. If they have shortcomings and you say, I want a good family, but they ruin it all, then have compassion on them and realize Satan's trying to use them, and they don't want to be this miserable. They don't want to fight, and they might act like they're happy when they hurt you, but it's because they've been wounded and they don't know how to be kind. because none of the people were kind to them. And by the way, can I say, don't marry someone from a rough home and expect them not to be rough? Okay? Now, I gave rough home and very unkind. God had to really change me to learn to say I love you and be kind. But it's very difficult. And if that was you, by the way, and you're mean, and you're nasty, and you're harsh, that's just the way I am, then change. Because God's very kind to you, and he's very mad. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. We talked about last Sunday. But God's merciful and compassionate to you. Learn to say, sorry, I love you. One of the hardest things I ever learned to do was when I was 10% in the wrong and they were 90% of the wrong, to apologize for my 10%, even though they weren't going to apologize for their 90%. But I was not worried about them. I was worried about Jesus. And you know what? I want God's power and blessing on me so I can reach them. That 90% will change. So we got to have compassion. The family on a firm foundation is a compassionate family. People mess up. Don't bring things back up forever. People mess up. Have compassion. Okay? Realize why they're like they are, maybe. Why that bus kid? And everybody said, oh, that's so good, Pastor. You're so nice, that kid. And that helped him. And you know what? He was good the rest of the camp. That's so sweet. Good. Do that in your home. Well, it's different with them. It is. I know. It's easier to do it with the bus kid. With the kid who I don't know who he is. With the kid who I just met him 4 days ago, 3 days ago. It's easier. I know. It's harder with your family members. We got to have compassion. We've got to love. We've got to be a deliverer who are humble and kind. And if their enemy smites them on one cheek, they give them the other cheek also. That's what we have to do. All right, good. It's great. We can be compassionate. Who wants to be like Jesus? Amen? Jesus is compassionate, even to sinners. Well, I mean, you don't understand what they did to me. They did pretty bad things to Jesus. I think it's in the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That kind of what we're talking about here? Maybe if they knew, they wouldn't be crucifying me, and he was still forgiving them. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that we'd be compassionate people, compassion in our homes. Lord, this is a hard message. We're in the flesh, and we are weak people. And Lord, there are people, there are family members of people in this room who are vicious, who are despicable, who have issues. But Lord, help us to be their missionaries. I pray that we'd be able to show them the love of God through our life and through our attitudes. Help us, Lord. And Lord, give us compassion. It's hard for us. Give us compassion. We ask you to help us in these things. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Now it's a hard message. I know this is as hard as the wrath of God last Sunday morning in a different way.